How's everybody? You guys been missing me, haven't you? I know I left myself open for that one. Okay. Let's start it out like I always started out. Gary?
You look nice and tan, Mike.
Thank you. Don't take me long.
A lot of changes on the defensive side of with the coaches there. Tell us your thoughts specifically on Coyer and some of the other guys you decided to make changes with.
Well, any time you make a change, it's very, very tough. And you know what I do, and I haven't done it very many times until this year. I've only made three changes, you know, in 12 years. And, you know, to make a change is something you think long and hard about. And it's, you know, what I usually do is sit down with a guy and tell them why I'm making a change. And I've always done that. I've always been pretty straightforward, and I explain to them why in detail. And then you do what you think's in the best interest of the organization.
What does Bates bring to the table that you like for your defense?
Well, I've watched Jim coach for a lot of years. You know, I think Jim brings a lot to the table. I think his experience speaks for itself. You know, what he's accomplished, what he's done, the type of defenses that he's had kind of speaks volumes. And to have him and Bob Slowick together working is something that a head coach is always hoping for, you know, that type of experience. And, you know, we got a guy named Bill Johnson from the Atlanta Falcons, who I think the world of as well, working with the defensive line along with Jacob Burney. And, you know, to have these experienced coaches with a guy like Joe Baker coming from St. Louis gives us a type of staff that I'm very proud of.
Different type of scheme that we see differently
from what we saw with Larry? With schemes, it's just not schemes. It's coaches coaching. And if I went into all the details of the scheme, it'd probably put you to sleep. But, you know, there's so many different things you can do on defense. But the main job is you gotta find a way to get it done. And, you know, I think that these guys will do a great job with scheme, and I think they'll do a great job of getting our players to play hard.
Mike, you've had someone like Brewster leaving, wasn't your call that I don't recall you having as many changes on the coaching staff. Was it a reflection that you didn't think that the coaches were getting the most out of their players, or was it more of a technical?
Well, I think I just explained that to you, you know, and I try to do it, you know, as tactfully as I can. I sit down with them and I explain to them why I made the change, and you do things that you think are in the best interest of the organization. But a guy like Tim Brewster, you know, what a great opportunity for him to be the head coach at Minnesota. I think Tim brings a lot to the table. Not only does he know football, but he's got a great background in recruiting. And I wouldn't be surprised if he has just a top recruiting class this year at Minnesota. And you're always hoping that your assistant coaches get head coaching jobs. And I was really proud that he was able to land it.
Does it take time for a coaching staff to gel? You know, we talk about when you bring in new players. And there was a time where you kind of prided yourself on the fact that you kept your staff completely intact for such a long time. You were like one of the longest running guys in the NFL. This is such a change for you.
Well, I don't know if it's a big change, to be honest with you. I think sometimes, you know, a little change is always good. You know, when people get head coaching jobs, you're always hoping that they can fulfill one of their dreams. And I think I've been very fortunate not to lose many coaches through the years. But it does happen. And when it does happen, there's a lot of new ideas that come in. You've got to reorganize yourself, just like we did last year when we lost Gary Kubiak. We'll do that with the defense. They're meeting right now, and you know, a lot of good can come out.
In hindsight, would you have done anything differently when you had that transition from Jay Plummer to Jay Cutler?
You know, the one thing you don't have in this profession is hindsight. You know, you do what you think's right. I definitely thought it was the right time. When you're averaging 17 points a game and you're 7-4, you're not going anywhere in the playoffs averaging 17 points a game. You know, we put Jay in there, we're averaging 25 points a game. You know, you get a chance to do something in the playoffs if you're averaging 25 points a game. We still didn't play as good as we could have played. In that last game, we got first and goal in the 1.5, first and goal in the 2.5, and first and goal from the 4.5, and you don't score a touchdown. You don't beat football teams, and that's what we did. You know, I don't want to take anything away from San Francisco because they stepped up and did what they had to do inside the 5-yard line. But, you know, that's embarrassing when you've got the ball 3 times, first and goal inside the 5, and you got to settle for field goals.
Do you expect that kind of change on the roster, too, that you've had on the coaching?
You know, Jeff, we do the same thing every year. We're going to try to, you know, put the best team together we can. You know, what we've been doing here for the last couple of days, and we'll do into the night this evening, is going through all the free agents right now at every position. And we take a look at what players can upgrade us at starting positions, possibly, you know, taking a look at the salary cap as well, taking a look at depth at other positions, knowing that, hey, you're a guy's one play away from being the starter. And, you know, we'll do that over the next 3 weeks, part of the evaluation process. And then when you do kind of get an idea what direction you're going in free agency, then you kind of target the draft after that. And, you know, so it's a little early to say which direction we're going to go, but like always, we're going to try to improve our football team as much as we can. And part of that is the evaluation process that we're going through now.
Do you have a target date on deciding what you'd like to do with Jake?
You know, really, there's not a target date. I'm sure Jake would like to be a starter in the National Football League. You know, he's 40-18 as a starter. There should be a number of teams that want to take a look at him as a starter, give him a great opportunity to show what he can do, and we'll just have to wait and see.
Might get something for him in that scenario.
Oh, I'm not going to go through that. Obviously, if you got a player that's 40-18, you're definitely going to get something for him. There's no question about that.
Mike, a sensitive issue. How's Javon Walker's mental state of mind coming along?
You know, I haven't talked to Javon personally, but I've talked to couple of people that have. I think he's doing as well as can be expected.
Javon expressed frustration to all of us during the year about his productivity of getting the ball. How would you evaluate how he played this year?
Well, anytime you got a playmaker, you know, you want them to be frustrated if they're not leading the league or one of the, you know, top players at their position. I thought Javon did a very good job under the circumstances, coming off an ACL, coming into a new system, not having the running game that we normally have on a week-in, week-out basis, and making the big plays that he made. I thought he had a very good year. And I think that his years will just get better and better as time goes on. Well, everybody thinks it's just the running back, or, you know, it's, you can't have a running back by committee. And, you know, even though we're over 2,000 yards, everybody wants that, you know, so-called superstar at the running back position. I think everybody wants that guy that can carry the load. That, you know, that's a perfect scenario. We understand that. But the main thing you want to do is be productive. And if you can run, have well over 2,000 yards every year, you're pretty productive. But we were not nearly as good as we'd like to be, as we're used to, and it's just not the running back position. It comes to a lot of different areas, and we're going to try to upgrade ourselves as much as we can and get back to where we've been, and that's in the top 5, not in the top 10.
Would you like to get a bigger tailback?
I'd like
physically bigger.
Well, you got all types of running backs. You want a Clint Portis running back that came in at 205, or would you like the Terrell Davis at 217, or do you want the Mike Anderson at 232? A lot of different packages when it comes to those running backs.
Super Bowl just had 2 teams in it, split time with the backs. Both Lovie and Tony said they felt that would be more common going forward.
Yeah, they copied that from us. They took it away from us. A lot of success with the running game.
Split carries with Terrell, didn't
you? I'm not sure. I think everybody kind of looks at their team and they decide what their players can do and can't do, and, you know, try to do the best thing for the team. And when you take a look at what Indy did, you know, they had a great game plan. You know, when they switched off the running backs with the passing game and the running game, very successful and helped them in the game, especially in those conditions.
I know this organization has done a lot to try and help Darren's family and his children. As far as the organization goes, where are the talks in terms of maybe a patch on a jersey? Anything like that? Has that been discussed, or what has been discussed?
You know, I can't tell you exactly. There's a lot of different ideas right now, but as I've mentioned before, there will be a number of things that will be done for Darren Williams, D-Will, in the future. To say exactly what it is right now is a little premature, but there are ongoing talks, and I think a couple things have come up already. We'll just kind of wait and see. By the season, the start of the season, I can tell you exactly what we're going to do. Right now, it's a little premature.
Like a couple months ago, John Elway said that the Broncos called him to talk about maybe working with Jay Cutler to be open to listening. Have you had any conversations with John about coming?
You know, I have talked with John. I haven't talked to John about Jay. But would I be against John talking to Jay? Obviously not.
You know, he made it sound like he wanted him to go so far to come to passing camps or whatever, maybe training camp for the world.
Well, maybe you can get John and I hooked up and kind of introduce me to him, and we'll talk about it.
Mike, you've been at this for so long. What's the one thing that excites you more about next year, more than anything you think about the team?
Well, I think we've got some young, talented players. You know, when you take a look at a young quarterback and you a couple young receivers that are very productive, and you got a little bit of a veteran offensive line, and you take a look at the defense, and even though we got a couple Pro Bowl players, we got a couple young players that I think have played very well. And it's like any year, it's day by day. You know, we're working to put our best football team together. It just doesn't happen now in free agency. You've got to work at it. And that's what we're trying to do now is work through the free agency period and then get ready for the draft, and then have our mini camps in May and June. And it's an ongoing process, and you know, it's a fine line, you know, difference between winning and losing the teams that separate themselves, and hopefully we can get over that hump this year.
Mike, have you been in the grind of getting back into evaluating free agents and potential draft picks? Has that helped you deal with Darren's attack?
No, I don't think it does. I don't think anything helps you deal with it. You know, it's something that you have to fight through. It's a very, very tough time. It'll continue to be a tough time, you know, through a lifetime. But, you know, the only way I can deal with it is kind of what I shared with you before. The only way I can deal with something like that, thinking that he's in a much better place. You know, the Lord took him for a reason. Why, I don't know. That's why I got to look at it, because if not, I've got a hard time dealing with it.
Like you mentioned, free agency and going through all that right now. Obviously, with the new CBA, a lot of teams have more room this year. How aggressive do you think you can be in free agency? And is that, I mean, over the years, have you learned not to try to get a quick fix in free agency?
Well, you know, that's such a general question. Obviously, we're going to try to upgrade our team as much as we can. We're not going to try to overpay for somebody just because there's a lot of money out there for obvious reasons. I think you always learn from your mistakes, and we've obviously made a bunch of them through the years, and I think we've made some good decisions through the years. And hopefully we'll learn by the good decisions and learn by the bad decisions and not make as many bad ones and put the best football team we can together.
I can ask you about specific free agents.
Oh, I'm sure you can. I'd be more than happy to answer them right now. Take your shots. This is the day. I expect them all to be back.
Is it going to be a little extra excitement for next year, knowing what Jay did in the last five games, and kind of building on that and seeing what he can do from day one as a starter next year?
Well, it's not just the last five games. You know, that was some good experience for him. It's what he's done since he's been here. How excited he is about football. And the guy, you know, loves it. He breathes it. He wants to be here. You see him here in the off season working out. It's a young guy excited about his future, you know. That's what separates the good ones from the great ones. Guys that have a passion for what they do. They play the game, even if they weren't getting paid the type of money that they get. You know, they enjoy it. And it's one of the things I always said about John Elway. I felt that way about Steve Young. You know, that they would have played the game because they're so competitive. They love to win, and at the same time, they made a great living doing it.
Unfolded, make you think you're closer or further away being at a championship level? The team that won, the way the playoffs unfolded?
Well, I think everybody can see that the teams are very, very close. I mean, just us playing Indy this year, you know, a team that won the Super Bowl, you know, probably dominated that game. more so than the score indicated. And yeah, so you know you're not very far away. You know, you got to get a little lucky. You got to stay healthy. You got to play your best football at the end of the season, not early in the season. And you know, you got to have mental toughness when the going gets a little tough. You know, we lost a number of games here. We had leads, and you can't do that and expect to win Super Bowls. And we're looking at all those things that we did poorly, and we're going to try to correct them here in the off season. And that's why they call it an off season, because you're working on those things that you did poorly, and hopefully you can get to the next level.
Is there anything you've identified, any one thing that can help you get over that hump, whether it be personnel or?
We identify a lot of things. I could go through offense, defense, special teams. I could go through how we break down plays, running game, passing game, and that's how you get better. You break down everything, free agency, the draft, which was brought to my attention that we have had some bad decisions in the past in the draft and free agency. Not very many, I might add, but every once in a while you do, and I'm going to talk about the bad ones and not the good ones. And you want to talk about some of those good ones we've had?
Now that you've had time to step back from this, I'll change the subject. What does stick out in your mind about the second half of the season specifically moving forward? I mean, is there something now that when you think about it in hindsight that prevented you from getting over the top in the second half of the season?
Just like I said, you go back through everything. You can't point to just one thing, but you know, that's what we do. You know, why do you give up those leads? Why do you play at the level that you played early and you play that way in the second half? You know, that's part of coaching. Now, I'm not going to go through all those scenarios right now with you guys. I read about them every weekend, you know, why they occurred. You know, that's just, you know, that's part of the game. Everybody's got their opinions, but we obviously go back and, you know, put some pressure on ourselves and critique ourselves, and hopefully we'll improve.
What do you think? What is Tatum's future with this team right now? Do you think he can be that guy still, the every down guy, or did it, with the struggles late in the year, did he just prove that he can be that guy?
Well, you know, everybody says, you know, what a bad year Tatum had, you know, and what a great job Maroney had from, you know, New England. But here Tatum Bell averaged more yards per carry than Maroney and about the same amount of yards. So, you know, sometimes you lose perspective on what a guy does and what a guy doesn't do. And, you know, I love Maroney, but, you know, sometimes, you know, comparisons aren't very fair. I think with Tatum, you're just disappointed with the turnovers he had late in the season. You know, that's the first thing that he would talk about is you can't turn the football over and win.
How's Matt Leftis doing, and how much did that hurt?
Well, I mean, any time you lose your left tackle, I mean, even to ask the question is completely, you know, completely crazy. What's it like when you lose a quarterback? Well, what's it like when you lose a left tackle? That's tough. What's it like when you lose a defensive end or a corner? But that's the nature of the National Football League. And even though, you know, you're hoping it doesn't happen, it does happen. And you want guys to step in and play at that level. And unfortunately, when we did lose Matt, we didn't play at the level that we were capable of playing. But hopefully with him back and a little bit better off season, and we'll go get the job done. But you know, any time you're ranked 21st in the league on offense, you know, that's embarrassing in itself. You know, we're not used to doing that, and we won't be there very long.
How much, you mentioned Lips, obviously that solidifies it, putting it back in there. How much change along the offensive line do you envision? Other than putting him back into place. I mean, George obviously was kind of in and out of the lineup this year.
Well, like I said before, we're going to do everything we can to get the best guys out there to say what changes we're going to have. Obviously, I want to go in that direction, but we're going to try to get as much depth as possible and play the best players and have those guys compete and put the best football team we can together through free agency and the draft as well.
Has Tom Dillon expressed that he will be back?
Yeah, Tom said he'll be back, and as far as I'm concerned, Tom played at a Pro Bowl level. Tom played very well this season. For him not to be nominated to the Pro Bowl, or at least as an alternate to me, was just a farce.